Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to mikereinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today.
On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about systems for assessments for new grads, repetitive lumbar strains in athletes, and strengthening the shoulder and multidirectional instability in weightlifters.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody. Episode 10 of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. Big episode this week, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Gabe is pumped. Big episode this week. In addition to the always present, magnificent Lenny Macrina. I need a better introduction for
so
you.
So,
magnificent? That's not something you really usually say about somebody.
I am pretty magnificent. But.
Quite magnificent. So in addition to Lenny Macrina, the director of PT here at Champion PT Performance, and the Gabenator, who's always here styling from the College of Armstrongs of the Carolinas. So he's here now.
I don't know if I would put Carolina in with Georgia.
It's Georgia, right?
Yes, Georgia.
I can't even get the state down. So Gabe Morgan, PT student from Armstrong in Georgia. Gabe.
10 episodes in, we're so good.
Gabe, I'm going to get that right. But more importantly, get a new guest on the episode today. Dave Tilley, new PT here at Champion PT and Performance. Dave is a stud that we're bringing in here at Champion. We're real excited to have here. Has a real strong niche. He's a niche guy if you listen to our past episodes.
Yeah. I eat quiche.
But he's got a real strong niche in gymnastics. Obviously, he's got a background himself, but has a bunch of clients that are pretty high level gymnastics athletes. And it's really good to bring somebody like Dave in here with Lenny and I, because not only does he complement what we do and has a similar like kind of style of manual therapy and movement kind of put together, but also he's got a lot to teach Lenny and I as well. So we look forward to working with Dave. So Dave, welcome, buddy.
Gabe.
Nice. Len, what's going on with you? You good?
I'm good. All is good. Just ready to get through with this episode 10.
10.
Which is double digits.
Whoa. Yeah, I guess if we made it this far,
yes.
No looking back.
That's pretty good. And we did, like, right before we started recording, we said, let's keep these under 10 minutes, and then we just babbled for three. So
nice.
Sorry about that. So perfect.
All right, we'll
see you on the next episode. All right, Gabenator, shoot away. What do we got today?
All right, we got our first one by Nathan from Australia. As a newly graduated physiotherapist, what is the most helpful system to assess and treat patients that you have found? For example, is an orthopedic pain-chasing approach effective, or would you recommend a more movement-based system like the SFMA, which is difficult for a new graduate to apply and treat due to inexperience?
All right, good question. I like that. I see Nathan from down under. You biased that question a little bit, I think, with your pain-chasing approach comment. But so the first thing I think I'll say, and I think maybe we'll even open it up for Dave, because Dave's a little fresher out of school than we are, and he can talk about his experience real quick. But I would say for me is I'm not a big subscriber to a system. I like to subscribe to many systems and take what I do and I don't like from those systems. So I've said this a bunch. You know, my good friend Ken Crenshaw with the Diamondbacks kind of, the guy that says this the most, but I'm happily a mutt, where we put together a bunch of different systems and strategies that work well for us and we put it together. So I do think as a new grad, it's not a bad idea to necessarily start with a system or so, but I'm not a big fan of selling your soul to one system. So Dave, why don't you share your experience?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, out of school, the first month is like deer in headlights anyways, so it's kind of hard to really just getting your feet wet kind of. But I found quickly that I didn't have a good system to approach it. I was kind of like picking from different parts of grad school, and I personally found the SFMA only because it was what I thought was the most, I guess, interesting to me. But I took the SFMA approach as like my main network. But then, like you said, I quickly expanded to many other systems. I was looking at stuff from McKenzie and PRI and some other things with the pain science category, and all of it came together for like, what can I use in this moment to best treat my patient in front of me, you know? So like framework of SFMA, but then at the same time, I'm still very much an advocate for knowing how to do an individualized, like, how do you just look at an elbow? How do you look at a shoulder? Because if you get down to the SFMA and you're down at like, okay, tissue extensibility dysfunction of the shoulder, and you don't have anything to go past that, well, then how does the person get better?
Now, well said, too, because I'm actually starting to see some new grads and some students, not Gabe, he's awesome, but some students come through here that have kind of already pre-sold themselves on one system, and they think that's all that's out there. Yeah. And then they don't know how to treat an elbow, like Dave said. You know, they don't know how to treat a joint. So you kind of mentioned, do you chase pain or do you do movement? I think you still need to come up with a diagnosis. I still think you need to understand, you know, the pain concept here. I wouldn't just get rid of that and just go one other approach. I think you gotta, you know, put the two together. But Len, if you were a new grad, what would you suggest they start with?
Yeah, I think what Dave has talked about is a good starting point, is to just expose yourself to some advanced therapists, you know, some veteran therapists who have dabbled, and pick their brains and just observe them, and then go experience a course. It's not cheap, unfortunately, so you gotta weigh that as well. So do your research. But I think we're movement specialists, so you really want to consider a course that's going to let you dive into movement. And I think the SFMA, again, I may be biased because I seem to be all in with that course, that philosophy, seems to be a good way to tease out mobility versus stability issues and how to attempt to figure out which one it is. And then you can dive a little deeper into the tissue and use some other courses that are out there to figure out how to get that tissue more mobile, whether it's joint capsule, whether it's soft tissue, whatever. So I think that's a good starting point is SFMA. If I had to really, you know, I should be, I guess I should get some cash from the SFMA people because we seem to always see, yeah, team SFMA. But I think it's a good starting point. It's a simplistic approach, and I like that because I don't want to complicate my life anymore.
So I think in summary, maybe starting with the SFMA is actually good. I think I think we would all recommend that. But I wouldn't say, you know, you got to do one system, and I wouldn't ignore, you know, chasing pain, that concept there. You have to understand the pain, you know, and when you put that together with movement science, I think that's you know, where you get the biggest bang for your buck. So nice, Gabe.
All right. Richard from Brooklyn asks, what is your strategy for treatment for repetitive lumbar strain of the athlete?
Repetitive lumbar strain of the athlete. So I can't think of a better question on the first episode for Dr. Dave Tilley here. So again, Dave, you know, you're the gymnastics guy, right? I mean, yeah. Repetitive lumbar strain, that sounds like everybody I've seen you work with here so far in Champion.
Yeah, right.
What do you think? What's your strategy for repetitive lumbar strains?
Yeah, that's a good segue question kind of from the SFMA one too, as we were talking about yesterday. So definitely like gymnastics, the biggest kind of plague injury we have is like spondy fractures, extension based fractures, along with a spectrum from muscular strains all the way through facet irritation. But like, you got to kind of realize like what is causing that repetitive strain, right? From the SFMA, like, yes, I'm worried about joint capsule. Is there a fracture? Do we need to brace this person symptomatic wise? But there's a reason that hinge point is created, right? L4, L5 is getting that much pressure because there's something missing above and below. So I would say personally, I mean, obviously I treat the site of low back pain to try to get their symptoms down, but first visit, I'm more worried about like, how did you get to me with a year of back pain that finally, why are you in so much pain? And usually with gymnasts, there can be some thoracic extension rotation limitations. There can be a lot of soft tissue limitations in their lat, teres, kind of the ability to get to that hyperflexion range of motion is big. And then many of them have extreme amounts of passive hip mobility from their lax in their hip capsule, but they don't have active glute control to 40 degrees of hip extension, which they need in an abnormal sport like that. So, you know, I use the percentage rules. If you're missing 10% in your T-spine, 10% in your shoulders, 10% in your hips, well, that's 30% more that 4 or 5 has to do, and that's how they fracture.
And while that's very gymnastic specific, I think that's the exact same comment that I think we'd say for every athlete.
Yeah.
I just, you know, just to get that across, you know, it's I think that's the same thing. If you're having repetitive lumbar strains, you're missing something.
Yeah. You know, that goes for flexion-based issues, too, with a lot of people who are lifting or deadlifting or regular fitness clientele. Like,
right.
no hips and you have terrible shoulder mobility, like you're probably going to tweak your back off enough.
Right. And if it's repetitive again, you're missing something.
Yeah. It typically comes down to an overuse injury. Yeah. Right. When it all is said and done, they're just pounding away like baseball, like gymnastics, like all other sports. You know, it's just that there's never a rest time and they're just quite fatigued, you know, and just pushing it. Yeah. And then who knows what happens after that.
Yeah. Load exposure and rest, man. Like, where are your rest days if you're training 6 days a week all doing back stuff?
Right. Yeah. Sounds good. Nice. All right. Two down, Gabe.
All right. Last one comes from David from Michigan.
David from Michigan.
David asks, how can you strengthen the shoulder if you have multi-directional instability? As a weightlifter for decades, it is getting harder to perform certain lifts. I have done throwers 10 and other rehab exercises. Even though I understand my limitations, I would like to lift within those limits without discomfort.
I just want to take a second to say, I think Gabe's ability to really drive home the passion behind some of these questions is really...
I feel like Dave is sitting there reading the questions.
Yeah, seriously.
Like
Dave is in the room with us. That was unbelievable, man.
Inspired.
What on earth was the question again? So how do you strengthen the shoulder with MDI? So Dave, you're a weightlifter, and you have shoulder pain from multidirectional instability in that. Well, I mean, heck, I don't know, Len. You wanna answer this one? You know, and start with, you know, you got a loose shoulder. How do you strengthen it?
If you do have a loose shoulder, and you tried strengthening it, I'm going to say we got to try to hit a different avenue. So what's going on? How loose is your shoulder? Have you had previous injuries? If you're truly MDI, you've had this repetitive mobility issue where you're too lax and you're putting a ton of stress through it. So if you have any other structural issues, which is fine, a lot of people have that. And if this throw is 10 type protocol is not working, if you want to think of it that way, then maybe you have some kind of underlying mobility issue due to a soft tissue issue, if that makes sense. So your arthrokinematics in your joint may be off for some reason. There's an overcompensation. There's an overstabilization process that's trying to occur because the joint is so loose that other muscles are taking over. What's going on in your lats, your upper traps? Those are oftentimes areas that we tend to look at, and we see that there's dysfunction because they're like holding on to daily life because your cuff is inadequate. So those would be some things I'd look at. And then also your lifting technique as well. What's going on with that? You know, if you were here, we'd want to look at all that stuff and see, are you lifting properly? What's we would do in SFMA, talking about previous assessments we would do, and look at your mobility issues in other areas, thoracic spine, lumbar spine, and see if there's a compensatory pattern going on with that. So I don't know if that's a good starting point from my situation. You guys have any?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other thing I would add personally is that I see a lot of times in weightlifters that essentially it's an imbalance. You know, your big muscles just get really strong and really big, and your little muscles, like your rotator cuff, even though you think you're working them, you're not working them nearly as efficiently as you could. So there's still an imbalance between the big guys and the little guys. And that's, I guess, that's just one thing. I mean, doing the exercises doesn't mean you're necessarily doing them well or at the right frequency or volume, that type of thing. You know, doing, you know, TheraBand and then, you know, bench pressing every day, I don't know if that's necessarily what is the best thing for you. So I would say I still wouldn't be surprised if there was a bit of an imbalance there. So, you know, again, that's why, you know, detailed assessment works. So
I think I said arthrokinematics. Am I Bostonian?
That's a big, that's a good word for you. I like that. Awesome. All right. Well, episode 10 in the books. I like it. Good work, everybody. Welcome, Dave Tilley. I think he did well, right? That was a great. He dominated the episode.
Finished off with a round off back handspring.
That's right.
On the floor.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Every gender slaps at Len when they come. They're like, "Who is this?"
Well said.
I did gymnastics for a day when I was like 8 years old.
Okay, I broke my nose.
Well, thanks everybody. Episode 10 in the books. So remember, keep asking some questions. Go to MikeReynolds.com/podcast. Ask us some questions on Twitter. But more importantly, we need some reviews on iTunes. That's like a big thing for a new podcast. So leave us some reviews. Give us a rating on iTunes. That really kind of helps with you know, getting the word out for the show. So if you do that, we'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at mikereynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.